It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Here we go, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting today from Tampa, Florida. It is the high-flying, death-defying Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla, fired up on a Friday to bring you a big episode of Top Shelf Radio in a bottom-feeding political world. In that race to the bottom, picking up speed in Washington in this hour with Jen Psaki refusing to condemn the protesters that plan on showing up to the homes of 6 Supreme Court justices.
Psaki sucks. Kaylee was so much better.
A lot of people feel that way, especially down here in Tampa, where the crowd really loved a good Jen Psaki joke last night at the Improv. So a shout-out to them and a shout-out for you to tuning in on a big Friday, 888-788-9910. If you want to be a part of the shindig, you know the rules. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a... That is all. Really quick, if you follow the exploits of this show, the traveling circus that is Fox Across America, we are all alive and accounted for, but it was a little touch and go last night with Mikey in the champagne room. I'm not going to lie. Things got a little dicey, but we we had just an outrageous night at the Tampa Improv, and if you were a part of that, I mean, really, just thank you. Just the stampeding herd of just happy humanity that laughed at the jokes, took the pictures, drank the Coronas, and hung out and talked smack. We had just an all-time a great night. You know the old, you should have hung out, man. I don't know that you should have hung out because we went hard. I do believe we got home at like 5:30 this morning. Mikey went to bed, found Jesus, scrubbed the face tattoo off of himself. I had radio hits all morning. I was on WPHT in Philadelphia. I was on the Roar of Memphis. We had a lot going on this morning on our end, but we are forever thankful for everybody who hung with us last night. Bob Joyce, who runs the Improv, just first class. I mean, as cool as they come. Gorgeous club. Awesome staff. Everybody does have a little bit of a substance abuse problem, but I'm in radio, so who the hell am I to judge? You know, this is like Bob Marley telling you smoke too much weed. I don't really have a leg to stand on in this debate. But a first-class staff all the way, and everybody who came out and hung for the after party, including we have a new correspondent down here in Tampa by the name of Emily, and her phenomenal boyfriend, Chris, as cool of a guy as there is, although I do have some questions about Chris's judgment, not as it pertains to his lovely girlfriend, but Chris as a whole is an item we will certainly discuss when our new Tampa correspondent weighs in at some point. So, Emily, if you're out there, that is you. But it was a great night. And if you are in the Tampa area and you want to hang with me and Mikey today, we're doing a big meet and greet at Due Amiche in Ybor. That is on 7th Avenue, and it goes from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, although I'm warning you, you're probably going to get a contact high if you stand next to Mikey.
I agree with that.
Wow! It was our little producer. Did he go hard last night? And every time Mikey has a drink, he looks 5 years younger than he is. You're like the Benjamin Button of drunks. By the time the night was over, you were like 4 years old. It was adorable, Mikey. And you're not weighing in on this because we got a show to do. But if you want to come hang out and see the Mikey show from 4 to 6 today in Ybor City, it is at Due Amiche. It is on 7th Avenue. Everybody's invited. Everybody's invited except Jen Psaki.
She's worse than Kamala.
Oh, is she ever? Oh, my goodness. Come on, man. And you know me. I posted a picture with myself and Jen Psaki. We were at, you know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner last week. And we were at a party in D.C., like a swanky party. And I'm nice to everybody, man. And I didn't, like, go up to her and be like, how dare you? I can't stand you. Because I don't want that to be our side. I want our side to be the side that's not emotional about this, that's cool, and doesn't have to resort to that type of garbage, social pressure and theatrics and performative outrage and everything in between. But what Jen Psaki did yesterday at the White House, and I do mean this, is flat out disgusting. Okay, the Democrats are experts when it comes to doing disgusting, bottom-feeding garbage in the name of scoring political points. There is nothing beneath the Democratic Party.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Okay, but in this instance, you'd like to think we could draw the line somewhere. So here it is. Yesterday, a group organized, and you saw this, we discussed it in the show. They're called Ruth Sent Us. Ruth Sent Us. We're coming to your house because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
But a group of activists called Ruth Sent Us announced that they're going to be organizing protests where they march on the homes of Supreme Court justices. This is disgusting. This is why the document was leaked, so they could get out there and pressure the judges publicly and as aggressively and as violently as need be, so they could quite possibly rethink their position on repealing Roe v. Wade. And now you have to understand, in their eyes, this is okay because they see themselves as the good people. They're saving the world from your conservative evil. So any means is justified if they get what they want.
They're crazy.
Oh, they're absolutely crazy. Okay, and again, after a year of January 6th, political violence, you got to watch your rhetoric, you can't condone this stuff, Trump should be in prison. Well, here's Jen Psaki refusing to say that protesters shouldn't go to the House of Supreme Court justices. This is clip 9.
So he doesn't care if they're protesting outside the Supreme Court or outside someone's private residence.
I don't have an official U.S. government position on where people protest. I want it. We want it, of course, to be peaceful. And certainly the president would want people's privacy to be respected. But I think we shouldn't lose the point here. The reason people are protesting is because women across the country are worried about their fundamental rights that have been law for 50 years. Their rights to make choices about their own bodies and their own health care are at risk. That's why people are protesting. They're unhappy. They're scared.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
So there is if you hear the big caveat, first and foremost, there is no official government position on where people can protest. Meaning, they want to go to the judge's house, they go to the judge's house. And that, which is disgusting, but now for the lying. Women's fundamental rights to do things with their body are under attack in this country. She's right. She's right. But you know who they're under attack from? The Biden administration.
Correctamundo.
It was the Biden administration that said, women, you got to get this vaccine in your body, whether you like it or not. Not your body, not your choice. Our government, our choice. It was the Biden administration that was denying women their body autonomy when it came to the vaccine, including pregnant women. Including women who knew there were no long-term studies about the data's effect, the virus's effect, the vaccine's effect anyway, on their reproductive capabilities. Don't forget, the Pentagon announced a $2 billion study to see how the virus would affect women's reproductive health. Do we have an answer on that study yet?
The answer would be no.
So when you talk to me about women's reproductive rights and their health, forcing them to take a vaccine, whether they want to or not, is the epitome, the very essence of trampling women's reproductive rights, if we want to start there. But if we want to talk about abortion specifically, okay, repealing Roe versus Wade again and again and again, it does not ban abortion.
Bingo.
Doesn't ban it. Do you understand? It sends it back to the states. And when they keep saying, oh, this is the death of democracy, your vote doesn't matter anymore, because look at this, people like Roe, and now it's going to go away. This is what happens when there's no more democracy. What the hell is the world coming to? Run for your lives! Meanwhile, back at the ranch, if Roe gets repealed, it's actually the beginning of democracy, because now each individual state has to vote on Roe.
Correctamundo.
I'm just going to play that all day today. I'm in a Samuel Jackson kind of mood, just so you understand. Okay, I had to drag Mikey out of a strip club at 5:30 in the morning. Just look other human beings in the face and be like, no, there's nothing wrong with what's going on here. Everything's fine. But no, the truth is, these are disgusting people, and they will stop at nothing to get what they want, even if that means showing up to a Supreme Court justice's house. And again, the people showing up to the Supreme Court justices' houses are the ones that want you to believe you're the extremist. Do you understand? Well, we got to stop these extremists on the right who don't want us killing babies. You know, it's the extremists that want to protect the babies. What kind of psychopath doesn't want to kill babies? That's the argument here. Again, I am not, man, one of those people who just like dismissively says, well, yeah, you should just close your legs and you won't have to worry about this. Okay, don't take that quote out of context. That's not who I am. I have great empathy for women, for teenage girls that are in trouble, for teenage guys that are in trouble. I don't mean pregnant because guys can't get pregnant, okay? But stick with me, okay? There are so many forms of contraception. There is also the outlet of adoption. And what we're saying on our side is we want you to have your rights. You're entitled to contraception. We might not want to pay for your birth control. Why the hell should we? Okay, but you're entitled to it. We certainly don't want to pay for your abortions. Why should we? That's insane. But what we're saying is, on our side of the aisle, you are being heard. We're not ignoring what you want. We're not extremists. We're not trying to kill women. We're not trying to send people into back alleys. Those aren't our words. Those are the words of the Democratic Party trying to score political points by selling a version of the Republican Party that doesn't actually exist.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Oh, are they ever? Because understand what we're saying on the extremist side is all the contraception you want. And hey, could we do more to educate people about what a baby is in the periods we're aborting babies? Could we have a scientific conversation, an honest-to-goodness engagement on the issues and the science that brings us to a rational, agreeable conclusion? Could we just have an honest conversation?
The answer would be no.
And that's why the country's on fire. Okay, it's not, I mean it. Okay, I'm not an activist. My job is not to make you vote Republican. My team is America. I root for the country a lot harder than I root for my party. But I'm telling you, this generation of Democrats is just awful. You can tell me, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a wackadoo and says crazy stuff, and Lauren Boebert is way too flirty at DC cocktail parties, and Madison Cawthorn seems to like dry humping boys a little bit too much.
What the hell did you just say?
A lot of weird videos out there on the old Cawthorn internet these days. I am not here to tell you the Republican Party's a group of perfect people, but I am here to tell you this modern Democratic Party is a bunch of lunatics.
I agree with that.
Because they're children. They're children. They're transactional, shameless children. They just spent a year condemning political rhetoric, condemning political violence, condemning leaders who don't tell their protesters to stand down. And now those same people, led by Jen Psaki, say, well, the government doesn't care where anybody protests.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Really think about that. We just went through a year of January 6th, January 6th, January 6th. Mobilize the troops, January 6th. We can't have political violence. But, you know, if you're not doing anything this weekend, we're going to show up to the judges' houses. What could possibly go wrong? Here's their addresses. That's what we're dealing with. The transactional, the shamelessly transactional nature of what our politics have become. Because understand, again, my body, my choice. That's the cry in Washington right now from the people who forced you to take a vaccine in your body when it wasn't your choice. Women's rights. That's the cry in D.C. right now from the people who told us a week ago that men were getting pregnant. We're going to talk about that later with Sean Davis from The Federalist, because the AP, the Associated Press, has just updated its language guide to include the term birthing people, okay? Birthing persons. From now on, it's not woman. It's not women. It's not moms. You're like literally going to go to Hallmark and buy a happy birthing person's day card. I mean, come on, man. But this is who they are. The people who told you a week ago men could get pregnant now want you to believe men shouldn't even be discussing the abortion situation because it's a woman's right to choose. Forget all you men we were pretending could get pregnant a week ago. We're so politically transactional, we've abandoned that position with not even a hint of shame or irony. We've just moved on because we need to get our way. Okay? Forget that we were forcing you to get a vaccine that you didn't want to put in your body, because we're now back on my body, my choice. That's who we are. Okay? And forget that we were warning about the dangers of political rhetoric and encouraging protesters to do whatever the hell you want, because we're now sending people to the SCOTUS judges' houses. That's what we're dealing with in this instance, folks. This is not a Republican problem. This is not a political problem. This is an American problem. We have children running the Democratic Party. They are shamelessly transactional children. And they carry so much weight in Washington, D.C., and they're lighting the country on fire. This is the political equivalent of the kid laying on its stomach in Target and smacking the floor and kicking its feet. And normally in that instance, mommy leaves the store and says, well, screw you, kid. Mommy ain't putting up with this. I'm out of here. But in this day and age, we're now saying to these people, oh, who wants a toy? How about we get you some ice cream? And then let's take a picture that says, living it up with my little buddy on a shopping date. We'll post it on the gram. That's what's going on now.
What the hell is the world coming to?
An actual end if we don't shut these little kids up.
Common sense from a not-so-sensible man.
It's the compassion. It's the dignity. It's the wisdom. It's the horse sense of the guy that gets you.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
Introducing Woke Rock, the gender neutral album that's got everyone coming to terms.
Uptown person, they've been living in their uptown world. I bet they never had a backstreet partner.
12 inclusive anthems everyone can live by.
Non-binary woman, stay away from me. Non-binary woman, parent, let me be.
Music so good, it's dangerous.
Oh, here they come. Watch out, Zir, they'll chew you up. Oh, here they come. They're a them eater.
Woke Rock. Available on college campuses and corporate boardrooms everywhere.
Your birthing person don't dance and your parent don't rock and roll.
We've never sold a copy, but we identify as number one on the charts.
Oh, I bet you do. Good old woke rock.
Everything woke turns to
does it ever. I mean, man, oh boy, oh man. It's Friday. I'm in such a good mood. We're down in Tampa. We have a meet and greet after the show. It's a Due Amiche if you're in the Tampa area. That's 7th Avenue in Ybor City, 724 7th Avenue. And I had the best night of my life. It was just such a good night. Awesome comedy club. Just gorgeous. Great turnout. Great crowd. Our Fox Across America crowd is so cool. Like, everyone who shows up to the event, we probably took 300 pictures on the meet and greet after the show. One cool person after another. Everybody had a joke. Everybody had something to say. There were even people who weren't there who reached out to the club that were cool. Awesome guy last night. Connor Flanagan. Connor Flanagan is one of our listeners on the other side of the country out in Nevada who reached out to the comedy club because he sent a bunch of jingles he wants us to play on the show. I don't even know that we legally can. I don't know what the deal is. But, Connor, if you're listening, I got your stuff, and I'll check in with you. I appreciate it. But everybody there was amazing. And the reason I make that point is because in the next break, we got to dive right back into the tank on this issue in Washington, because Joe Biden, 2 days ago, had his basket of deplorables moment where he said half the country are a bunch of racists. This is the most extreme political group of our generation.
Wrong.
Oh, it's wildly wrong. But I'll tell you why he said it. And it's not because, you know, the Trump supporters are bad news. It's because everything in his administration has been bad news.
Tell them like it is.
From the makers of Where's Waldo comes the children's book that's got the whole country guessing. Introducing Where's Kamala?
Is that her fixing the border crisis?
No, sweetie. She can't be bothered.
Where's Kamala will give your kids hours of entertainment while they look for a vice president who's always missing in action.
Is that her programming Joe Biden's teleprompter?
No, honey. That's Nancy Pelosi.
I should have known by the wine bottle.
Let's face it, the White House has her stashed away further than Hunter's laptops.
It's a complicated relationship.
So don't let your kids spend all day searching for fun things to do. Get Where's Kamala, and they'll be searching forever.
This is impossible. I think Biden forgot where he put her.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Where's Kamala? She's out in front of a microphone making a fool of herself. I want you to listen to this clip. Vice President Kamala Harris drawing a response from former Vice President Mike Pence on her big performative, "How dare you, Republicans?" Are you ready for it? Here's Kamala's take. It's clip 18.
Women in almost half the country could see their access to abortion severely limited. In 13 of those states, women would lose access to abortion immediately and outright. Those Republican leaders who are trying to weaponize the use of the law against women, will we say, how dare they? How dare they tell a woman what she can do and cannot do with her own body? How dare they? How dare they try to stop her from determining her own future? How dare they?
What would you do with your brain if you had one?
I mean, come on, Kamala Harris. Seriously.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
How dare they tell a woman what they can do with their bodies? Says the woman who was firing women. If they didn't take a vaccine they didn't want.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh.
Ha ha!
How dare they? And they hear the background, they're like, go on, girl! Oh, you tell them, girl! How dare they? You see, the old saying, when you have the facts, pound the facts. When you have nothing, pound the table. This is all pounding the table. Republicans are extremists. How dare they take away your rights? You know what no one's talking about? The facts. The facts. You know, the 67 million babies that have been killed. I feel like I don't know, man. I'm not like a debate organizer. I'm not like a professional debate organizer where you figure out what should be included, what shouldn't be included in the debate. How are we having a debate about abortion? I just feel that we should at some point on the Democratic side, oh, I don't know, maybe bring up that small matter of 67 million babies dead.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
Dude, do you understand that? How is this not a factor? How have we reached how dare you point on behalf of the people killing the babies? They're the ones doing the how dare yous? Like, seriously? Get the f*** out of here. That's not exactly what Mike Pence said, but he was pretty close to it. In Mike Pence speak, like, go wash your car, is like, you know, your mama's so fat. You know, Mike Pence doesn't really get that risque. But here he is pushing back on Kamala Harris, and it's worth listening to. It's clip 17.
This week, Vice President Kamala Harris scolded the five justices on the Supreme Court listed in that draft opinion and Republican legislators in states across the country for what she said was their plan to weaponize the use of the law against women, saying to pro-life Americans, how dare they? Well, I say with the lives of 62 million unborn boys and girls ended in abortion since 1973, generations of mothers enduring heartbreak and loss that can last a lifetime. Madam Vice President, how dare you?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
That's about as rowdy as Pence gets, by the way. But seriously, how dare you? Okay, when you really think about the amount of lives ended by abortion, if you want to have an honest conversation, abortion only exists in this country because Margaret Sanger, the patron saint of Planned Parenthood, wanted to control the size of the black population.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
That's an actual thing, man. That's how this started. And it was spun out as, you know, woman's right to choose, my body, my choice, with no regard for the other body. And I, dude, if you're listening to the show for the first time, I want you to understand my side. Understand my side that's being called extremist. That's being called, you know, with a how dare you side. We're not saying to women, like, just, you know, go be a monk and don't have sex if you don't want to get pregnant. We're not saying that. We're saying, hey, you can have contraception. We ain't paying. But you can have it. You know, we're saying, hey, you have real options if you do get pregnant. Like adoption, choose life. We don't have to have, you do not have to take care of this baby, okay? We're saying that. We're not saying to you, okay, you have no options here. We're saying we're giving you all the options. All we're asking, and I think it's, to be honest with you, pretty reasonable, is, hey, could you not kill 60-something million babies? Could you, I mean, I don't know, that, call me old-fashioned, but I, you know, time was not wanting babies to die meant you were a decent person. Not a how dare you person, not a, you know, not a barbarian. But this is what we're dealing with again and again and again. I say this saying a lot. Okay, I said it before, I'll say it again. When it comes to political discourse, when it comes to the law, the legal profession, when it comes to anything, okay, when you have the facts, pound the facts. When you have nothing, pound the table. You know, this is the equivalent of, they don't have the facts, they have nothing. Do you understand? So they're pounding the table. Joe Biden, 2 days ago, said what? He said, oh, the MAGA crowd is the most extreme political organization in history.
That was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing for him. Joe Biden's a guy who once eulogized a former member of the Ku Klux Klan in Robert Byrd. That's a thing. Look it up. Okay, but again, this is the same Joe Biden who says the black community doesn't even have a choice at the polls.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
But you understand, when he goes out there, says, oh, the most extreme political organization in history. I mean, yo, the Weather Underground, people blowing up police stations. You want to talk about the Klan, you know, you want to talk about the Jim Crow South where 17 Democrat-run states were denying black people access to the ballot box through violence. All pretty extreme, I'm not going to lie. But when Biden says, oh, pretty, you know, this is the most extreme group in history, he's saying that. You need to understand this. He's going to the extremism card. He's going to the they want to ban gay marriage, they want to ban integrated schools. He's going there because he cannot run on his record.
He knows what he's talking about.
Can't do it. Inflation's through the roof. You can't afford gas. The border's out of control. Everybody's getting poisoned and dying from fentanyl. Okay, he cannot run on the job he's doing. They strategically leaked this memo so they could make the election in November about something else.
You're absolutely right.
So here he is, trying to make that something else become a thing. It's clip one.
What happens if you have a state changes the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children? Is that legit under the way that the decision is written? What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history, in recent American history.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
And understand, that's a garbage quote by a garbage human being. He is a garbage human being. I don't take any joy in saying that. He's our president. He's a guy who said with a straight face that my unity runs in my veins. I'm going to govern for all Americans, whether they voted for me or not. And I'm going to bring the country together.
You told some of the biggest lies that I've ever heard of in my whole life.
The guy who's going to bring the country together just said 74 million voters are the most extreme political organization in history. Okay, for what? Because they don't want to kill babies. And what is he doing, though? Again and again and again. I own a Politics to English dictionary. Understand what he's doing. Okay, because this is real. There's a reason he's not just focusing on abortion. He's doing the old, what are they going to do next? Gay marriage. Integrated classrooms. Why? Because he's trying to use this to rile up as many voting blocks as possible.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
That's what's going on here. He's trying to rile up as many voting. Don't even make this just about abortion. What are we talking about here? Okay, so they've got abortion, but let's get out there with a straight face and rope in four or five other issues that our base is passionate about and get them to show up to the polls. Okay, but I'm telling you this now. When inflation's at a 40-year high and low-income Americans, people living on fixed incomes, cannot afford goods, they don't feel safe even going to the store to buy those overpriced goods, they're walking because the gas is too expensive to get them there, you're going to have to provide them with more than vote for me because the other guys are racist. Okay, you're going to have to. That's just reality. So even CNN, of all people, CNN waited on this.
CNN is the worst.
They are. But here's Alex Marquardt asking Michael Smirkanish, a radio host in his own right, if this was his basket of deplorables moment. Now, to be clear, Biden's had 100 of them. It's vote for me or you're Jim Crow on steroids has been a very familiar refrain from the guy who wants to unify the country. Okay, but this was particularly bad. It's clip 6.
In targeting the MAGA crowd, which we don't often hear him talk about, if ever, do you think there's any fallout from that? Is it kind of like when Hillary Clinton called this same Trump base deplorables?
Alex, be careful, right? Because I think that that backfired on her. I think that she regretted it. I think it became a rallying cry. You remember there was merchandise. There was merch at the time. People were wearing T-shirts proudly proclaiming that they were part of the deplorables. So I think it's a fine line. But I think we're at a stage now, right, at this point in the spring, where it's the president and his team seeing what resonates and what's going to drive people.
Biden is such a disaster.
That's all it is. Just a desperate disaster. Let's throw grievance at the wall. He flat out said it. Let's see what will motivate people. They're literally throwing grievance at the wall. They used this SCOTUS leak. You understand? This is illegal. This person should be in prison. This is unprecedented in the history of our court. To give you an example, okay, go to the other side of Roe versus Wade. When Roe versus Wade was being put into law by the Supreme Court, no draft documents leaked from the people who opposed it, because they had a thing in the court called integrity, and the court's integrity was more important than any one issue it happened to be ruling on. But that's because Republicans see the court as a court. Democrats see the court as a vessel through which they can get legislation enacted and held up without the full support of the people. And what I mean the full support of the people is there are plenty of people who are fine with the existence of Roe versus Wade. I'm not going to lie to you. But when we dive into the specifics of abortion and term limits and everything in between, they lose all their support. Okay, so it doesn't make you an extremist to want to talk about the truth when it comes to an abortion. It doesn't make you an extremist to want to repeal Roe versus Wade and send it back to the states. Because again, that is not silencing the will of the people. That's asking the people to vote again based on science we didn't have 50 years ago. That's what it is. But what he's doing is just sheer desperation. And it really is disgusting to see it happening to the country at a time when we're getting told all the time, well, you got to be careful with the rhetoric. You know, this is bad. You got to watch what you tell people. They'll flip out. They'll go crazy. Say the people who want you to believe that the MAGA crowd is the most extreme political organization in American history.
What an idiot.
Joe Biden is an idiot. And his big problem in this moment, real big problem, it goes beyond the stupid. It goes beyond the fact that he sends in the punt team halfway through a sentence because he's finished talking.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
It goes beyond that. Okay, this is not that the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. This is not that he's stupid and has the worst political instincts I've ever seen, because those things are relevant to the conversation. Understand. This is the same Joe Biden who once took the troops out of Afghanistan before the civilians.
That can't be good.
Yeah. The guys, remember back in August last summer? The guys with the guns. The guys with the weapons. The guys with the tanks. Those guys went home. But the civilians that were armed with cell phones, Biden left them behind.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
He is stupid. He is senile. He is, you know, if you've ever been around this in your life, in a state of very advanced cognitive decline. Okay, but Joe Biden's biggest problem, bigger than anything else, and it's the thing hurting the country the most, is that this man is a weapons-grade liar.
White House girl sent Biden to bed early because he's really old and he's senile. He makes up so much crap the country's worried. He's lying like it's going out of style. You can't hide Joe Biden's lies. For a while they made soggy try. I thought by now they'd realize there ain't no way to hide Joe Biden's lies.
Don't go anywhere. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We'll be right back.
Oh, girl. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Living large down in Tampa. We're going to be talking to Sean Davis in the next hour from The Federalist. Joe Concha, superstar media reporter, also showing up to talk about the Associated Press's decision to change the word to birthing people. Birthing people. You know, we always joke about that terminology and make fun of Democrats and woke people who say it, but they are formally updating the language guide in this country. The Associated Press, they're considered the gold standard of political reporting, now wants to erase women and say birthing people. Yo, here's a newsflash, okay? No one has ever copied off me on a test, let alone a biology test. But even I know that only men who get pregnant happen to be women, meaning men can't have babies. Women who dress up as men can, but the idea of a man actually going out and giving birth on his own, that's not actually a thing, you maniacs.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from sunny Tampa, Florida. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Lacing him up for a track meet in this hour. Sean Davis making a triumphant return to the show. He is, of course, a superstar writer, senior editor over at The Federalist, and a guy who loves to call balls and strikes in the goings-on in Washington, D.C. I've got to be honest with you. There's not a person in the Democratic Party who can find the strike zone right now.
I agree with that.
So much to get into. on the fallout with the SCOTUS leak, and there's obviously this huge fight brewing within the Biden administration over student loan forgiveness. Remember that one? They're trying to buy votes from young voters by giving them some student loan forgiveness. And you're like, oh, that's so nice. They're forgiving the loans. But are they really forgiving the loans, the debt? Does it go away?
The answer would be no.
No. The students don't pay their bills. Instead, it gets paid for by the taxpayers.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
Student debt forgiveness is the college calls up and is like, hey, times are tough. We forgive the debt. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is the Democrats are going, hey, the poll numbers are tough. Let's forgive the debt and we'll have the taxpayer bail these people out. That's what's going on in this moment.
Just hold on to your pocketbook. They just put a lien on your money, your savings, and your retirement.
Okay, it is driving inflation, okay, to defer interest on these student loans. But just do you understand how patently unfair this is? Okay, we can have this debate from a standpoint of, well, you know, the taxpayer who is subsidizing this student loan debt, if you look at the data, they don't make as much money as the person who took out this loan. So, yeah, we know that's wrong. We also know it's wrong and unfair from the standpoint of, think of it this way, the people who did it right, the people who worked three jobs to pay their debt, the parents who sacrificed to help the kids afford college. You're screwing them. They're not getting a handout. They're not getting a forgiveness. They're not getting, like, a tax write-off for all the money they spent. No. But the most egregious abuse here is a very simple one. Think of student loan forgiveness this way. You are now getting the bill for a meal at Chili's that you did not eat. Think about that. You didn't eat this bill. You didn't eat this meal, but the Democrats want you to pay the bill.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Really think about that. That is student debt forgiveness in a nutshell. They're passing the bill on to the people who didn't go to these schools to pay for the debt and responsibility of the people who did. Personal responsibility, just so you understand, is the most important thing in your life. This is not political. I'm not talking to you as a political commentator. It's everything. Everything in your life is personal responsibility. And absent that, okay, you got a big problem if you're not personally on top of your stuff. The government can't get you through everything you need to do in life. That's just reality. Okay, you're going to have to, at points, make deadlines. You're going to have to keep promises. You're going to have to pay bills. You're going to have to balance a checkbook. You're going to have to do things. Okay, like, I don't know, being an adult. I'm sorry, that's just the way this works. But in this instance, they're trying to work around the personal responsibility by passing the debt, by passing the burden of responsibility of decision-making onto the people who didn't make that decision. And I just want you to understand, it's the reason why the Democrats are polling where they are every single, and I mean every single one of their ideas is absolutely just flat out terrible.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, none dumber, though, when it comes to this Associated Press. Woo! So we're just basically coddling to people's feelings now. That's what we are in 2022. Feelings over facts. Okay, let's start here. Facts. Men, you with me? You sticking with me? Are you ready for this one? Men can't have babies. Can't do it. Never once. Zero, zip, zilch. When you drive by a house, they have a decorative stork on the front lawn that says, it's a boy. They're talking about the baby. They're not talking about the mom. You want to know why? Because no man has ever given birth to a baby out of his pee hole.
What the hell did you just say?
I don't. Where else is it coming from? I don't know. I don't know how to say this. But, I mean, that's just a fact. It's never happened. Do you understand? But the Associated Press is now formally recognizing pregnant people. They're now formally recognizing the term pregnant people. The AP style guide alert says, phrasing like pregnant people or people seeking an abortion seeks to include people who have those experiences but do not identify as women, such as transgender men and non-binary people.
That was absolutely dreadful.
Such phrasing should be confined to stories that specifically address the experiences of people who do not identify as women. Okay, so in the AP style guide, Okay, the style guide for the AP, just so you understand, that dictates how news is phrased and covered. So every newspaper that you read, if you read one, they follow the style guide that's outlined by the Associated Press. They're the ones who set the terms of engagement. So if the AP says the new term is pregnant people, okay, the new term in every newspaper you pick up tomorrow is going to be pregnant people.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
And again, this is going on at a time when Democrats want you to believe the entire abortion debate is about a woman's right to choose. Okay, the AP is out there with a straight face, still holding on to this fallacy that men can get pregnant.
That is balderdash and hogwash and mm-hmm.
Oh, is it ever. So, you know, down is up, up is down, the sky is green, it's bananas. But I want you to understand, man, okay, in my position doing this show, your radio buddy, Jimmy Fallon, he hangs out with me at the comedy club, drinks my Coronas, smokes my cigar. Some guy bought me a cigar last night. Buddy, if you're listening, I know your name, but I haven't slept in like 3 years. I had a cigar coach. Not only did he buy me a cigar, but then he coached me through like how to light it and smoke it. I'm like, dude, I came out of the womb smoking cigars. I know how to smoke cigars, but I loved the care. Everybody put like such effort into making sure all the experiences were perfect. Like Tampa, I have to tell you, is absolutely just a first-class town.
Wrong.
Oh, I disagree, Mr. President. But stick with me. Okay, this whole idea of feelings over facts. You yell loud enough, you get angry enough, people are supposed to back down and just let you get your way. That's where we find ourselves on one of the happiest Fridays in my life. I want to play this clip from earlier in the week. This is Pramila Jayapal. Okay, feelings over facts, telling you the Supreme Court. Woo! The Supreme Court doesn't have the right to overturn Roe versus Wade.
That is a fact check false.
Yo, Pramila Jayapal, are you ready for me? If they don't have the right to overturn Roe versus Wade, then shouldn't Roe versus Wade not be a thing, seeing as their ruling is what put it into existence?
Oh, wow!
Again, okay, America plagued by stupidity. In the year 2022, this is weapons-grade stupidity. Here it is, clip 19.
These justices are acting like this is somehow something that they have the right to change. They do not have the right to change this. We cannot accept it. I don't think people across this country are going to accept it.
I mean, when you really think about that.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Really, Pramila Jayapal, this SCOTUS doesn't have the right to overturn Roe versus Wade. What do you mean? They're the ones who gave us Roe versus Wade. They're ruling on a case that specifically involves it. But this is what we're placating. We're placating feelings over facts. Pregnant people. Pregnant people. Yo, I'm not transphobic. It's America. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you do. I don't care how you do them.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
But the point is, this is not an accurate assessment of reality. Okay, pregnant people, bah, 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 bah. There are only women. Women get pregnant. You can identify as whatever you want. Do you know when I was in fifth grade, I told everyone who met me I was the future center fielder of the New York Yankees, and a girl named Marie Galina told everybody she was my agent, and everybody we walked up to were like, you know, that was Jimmy Fallon, future center fielder for the New York Yankees, and that's what we believed, that's what we identified as in conversation, but did we get to play center field for the Yankees?
The answer would be no.
No, did happen to lose a lot of money betting on the Yankees. Actually, I won a lot of money in the late 90s. Bernie Williams was our center fielder then, and he was getting it done, girl! He was getting it done! But the Democrats aren't getting it done with this garbage. And they're going to keep shouting. They're going to keep calling you extremists in hopes that you'll go away. But I got news for you, man. I don't see anybody going away because we're tired. We're tired of placating idiots. These are idiots, okay? Here's Joy Behar. I don't like to do this to you, but from time to time, I got to play a clip from The View.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
Listen, it happened on the show. We got to do it. It's part of the gig. Just buckle up, kids. Here we go. This is Joy Behar talking about where it goes next. Clip 22.
My worry is that this is just the beginning. Next, they'll go after gay marriage and maybe the Brown versus Board of Education?
Yeah.
They already eroded our voting rights a little bit. So I see fascism down the line here.
Did you hear that? I see fascism down the line here. Woo! This is all they have. Do you understand? They're not talking about like what we know about abortion. They're not talking about the science. They're not talking about how many options are available to women. They're just talking in hysterics. Because the goal here, do you understand, is the next election. They don't care about the women. They don't care about their abortion rights. They certainly don't care about the babies. They leaked this strategically. A politically active law clerk leaked this under the auspices that they were doing the world a favor. No, you don't understand. With the good side, the rules don't apply to the good side. When you're fighting evil, I'll be damned if I'm going to play by the rules against a bunch of evil people that don't even respect human beings. Get out of my way. I'm killing babies, you extremist. How dare you tell me not to kill babies? That's an extremist position you have there. The hell's wrong with you? That's what we're talking about here, just so we understand the terms we're playing this game on. And again and again and again, I say this every break so you don't think I have a lack of empathy for people who are in an unwanted pregnancy. Okay? And let's be very honest. Okay, this might not sit well with the pro-life crowd, but in instances of rape or incest, I can't tell you that I'm thrilled with the idea of making a girl carry that baby to term. I can't say that I am, man. I can't say that I am. And I'm all in favor of adoption and making that the priority when it comes to unwanted pregnancies is let's choose life. Let's get the baby to a family who loves it. That is out there. The demand to adopt is out there. It's there, okay, on a level with which abortions are taking place. I'm not lying to you. That is the truth. Okay, if you're having an American baby, people who are trying to adopt babies wait forever, okay, and often adopt them from countries that really are facing real oppression and food insecurity and do a wonderful thing of bringing the kid to a real land of plenty. It's wonderful, okay, but understand if there's a situation where a pregnancy is unwanted, okay, it's just America to America. It might be a lateral movement in terms of country. But in terms of acceptance, in terms of love, in terms of the environment it grows up in, it's going to be profoundly better. So I'm always going to be an advocate for life. But you can tell me that in instances of rape or incest, that the girl doesn't want to carry that baby. Who the hell are we? Like, that is a situation that gets dicey for me. That's the nuance of this. And we have to be able to have those conversations, but we're not having those conversations right now. I mean, you and me can. I can talk about anything. You know, but in our politics, it's just a food fight. It's just do what I tell you or I'll bludgeon you with more hysterics. And that's why The View is the highest, you know, rated show in Guantanamo Bay. It's a form of interrogation. You know, they can't waterboard people anymore. So they're like, you confess or I'll show you another Whoopi Goldberg clip. And the guy's like, oh, God, no. Bottom line. Okay. Bottom line.
The View is awful.
Don't go anywhere. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We'll be right back.
And it's Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla, broadcasting down in Tampa. If you're in the area, we're doing a meet and greet from 4 to 6 at Due Amiche, great pizza bar. And then I will be walking out of the meet and greet, jumping into a van, and doing live television on the Fox Business Network with David Asman. It's been a crazy week at TV. Next week is crazier. I'm on Gutfeld Tuesday. I'll be on with Neil Cavuto on Your World. I'll be on with that's Friday. I'm on with Kennedy Thursday. I'm on America's Newsroom Monday. And I'm sure there'll be some other chicanery along the way. Some of the shows book your day of and stuff like that. But if you didn't hear me say it yesterday, this is an exclusive to our show. Thursday night, May the 19th, I will be doing stand-up. I'll do a stand-up set on Gutfeld live on the Fox News channel, which is really exciting to know you've got 4 minutes, 5 minutes to potentially end your career once and for all. one wild pitch into the crowd with one joke, and away he went. Man, his career seemed like it was going so well. Then they booked him to do live stand-up on Gutfeld, and yeah, there you go. Well, thanks, Greg. Nah, it's going to be great. It's going to be really awesome. So set those DVRs, tune in and watch it. You have a good time at Gutfeld shows. You have a good time at Fox events in general. The crowd that shows up is just great. Just great. Everybody was awesome. You know who's not awesome? I got you. I hate having to go back and do this to you, okay? But it's a thing. She's back. Hillary Clinton, talking about extremism and the dark dangers facing our country now because of Donald Trump. Take it away. This is clip 10.
I warned about it in the campaign. I could see that the man I was running against would literally do anything to get the votes of the extreme faction of the Republican Party who were willing to totally upend precedent and deny women their rights. So I did warn about it, but you know, it's hard to warn in the abstract. And I think a lot of people would say, well, that'll never happen. No, but nobody will do that.
What a loser.
This guy will go to the extreme to get votes, says the woman who literally bought and paid for a fake conspiracy theory that this guy was colluding with Russia to overthrow our democracy, her with a straight face telling you Trump's the guy that'll go to extremes to get his way. I'm telling you, we're living in the death of shame.
Reality with a bit of insanity. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. We're broadcasting, of course, down in Tampa, Florida. We're raising holy hell this weekend at the Tampa Improv. It is Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla. And I'm really excited for this conversation, and I want everybody to buckle up because it could get interesting. As you know, I opened the show by roundly condemning the remarks from Jen Psaki, who, in her own way, refused to condemn the idea of doxing SCOTUS justices and protesting outside of their homes. Well, this next guest is an actual huge fan of Jen Psaki, so it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. CEO of the Federalist, Sean Davis, is here. Hey, man.
Oh, I just love her entire catalog.
You have all the live albums, the box
yep.
set.
even the deep cuts, some bootlegs.
Funny. Oh, that's funny. Jen Psaki, who, by the way, I was in your town last week. I was in the swamp for the correspondence dinner. I actually did have one drink and take a picture with her at a party. And with cameras off, she's actually like, hey, Fox guy, how are you? Let's take a picture. I saw the next night at the correspondence dinner with the cameras on, and she gave me the look, like the look OJ gave. You know what I mean? Like that look, like not a good look is what I'm trying to say. Not good, Sean Davis.
Peppermint Patty was not picking up what you were putting down then.
Okay. Now everybody's up to speed. Sean, not a huge Jen Psaki fan. So let me jump in here, because in case anybody missed it, I mean, you know, once in a while when you do that in an intro, man, somebody listening's like, I can't believe you had a Psaki supporter on your show. I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing. Psaki is not a Psaki supporter. I always tell people this. The reason our side, I think, is more, I guess the term is tolerant, meaning we don't hate people for their views the way we do. It's not as personal for us as it is for them. But I think some of the insider trading information we have is like the right understands the left better than the left understands the right. But without even delving into policy, I think we know that you're not supposed to hate them because you could never hate them as much as they hate themselves.
That's so true. Although I'll tell you, I'm pretty psyched for her going on MSNBC for the sole reason that I want the headline, Saki Bombs, you know, ratings are a disaster after she starts. That's my sole interest in her being on TV.
I never thought about that. Like, why didn't we not buy that URL by now? We really blew this one. You're telling me Jen Psaki could be the CNN Plus of MSNBC?
Absolutely.
I think she will be. The thing she did, okay. So you know where we are, just to get everybody up to speed on this SCOTUS leak, obviously wildly unprecedented, clearly an activist clerk. Do you have any faith that the FBI, the DOJ, is actually going to get to the bottom of this?
No, not at all, because I've been alive for the last 40 years, particularly the last five. The moment that I knew we were never going to find out who the leaker was when I read the story that John Roberts was going to get the FBI to figure out who the leaker was. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's just forget about it because it's never happening.
So true. Again, we are. We're back to the legal equivalent of OJ trying to find the real killers. You know, there's no effort being made. And we know that. But what's so fascinating, and tell me if I'm onto something, because my theory is that the reason they're saying, you know, this is not even about Roe, it's about what comes next, segregated schools, gay marriage, is I do see this as just a cheap attempt to horrify everybody into voting for Democrats because they can't obviously run on their record. Is it that simple, or is there more to this issue that I don't understand?
No, I think that's probably most of it. Mm-hmm. When I first saw that news come out, my immediate thought was that they had a bunch of different aims. Mm-hmm. I think the first one, the most obvious one, is they're hoping they can pull off Obamacare 2.0 and intimidate some wobbly justice into changing his or her vote so they get the way they want. Yeah. And by the way, big props to John Roberts for making that even a thing that's possible. Like, yeah. He told the left that if you bully enough, you can get an idiot with no spine to change their vote. Yeah. So I think that was the first most obvious aspect of the leak. And then the second is, it, you know, on the off chance that that doesn't work, they can get people all primed and angry and bring out their parade of horribles because everything else is awful for Dems, and maybe just get to fearmonger them into voting for Dems because of all these things that we're going to turn back time on because you might not be allowed to murder your own baby anymore.
I mean, that's the part that I think is so crazy, is that when we're talking to Sean Davis, CEO of The Federalist, what is so crazy is that we're being called the extremists. Like, the people who are saying, hey, could you not kill 60 million babies? We're now living, I believe, it's the death of shame, where you will people don't know shame. They're willing to get in front of a camera and go, the guys that don't want us killing babies are the extremists here. Like, in what world does that logically square?
Yeah, in a completely mad world in which men can get pregnant up until the point that you need to argue that abortion is just a women's issue and you're not allowed to have an opinion on it if you're pro-life and you're a dude. That's the world we're living in.
It is, but that's so – it's such a great point, man, is they're so shamelessly transactional. Okay, a week ago men could get pregnant. Now they can't. Shut up. This is a women's issue. Men shouldn't weigh in. And we're back again to my body, my choice, which a lot of us have pointed out, which you were fired as a woman – under this administration, if you didn't put a vaccine in your body that wasn't your choice to take. But now we're shamelessly back to my body, my choice, but like a straight face. So, like, my question to you is, okay, because there's a thing in Washington where, especially on the left, they condescend to us. And they really sell this dripping condescension of we're too dumb to think for ourselves. That's why we need a disinformation board. What I think a lot of people would argue is their attempt to spread more disinformation, and we can get into that. But do they really think we're stupid, number one? And 1A, are we stupid? Like, are the people listening to them stupid? Is it a branding exercise? What do you diagnose this as?
Well, so I want to go back to my body, my choice real quick, because I think it's an important point that we like to say they're hypocrites, but they're not. Mm-hmm. It's not hypocrisy. It's hierarchy. They truly believe when they are saying it, my body, my choice, and also your body, my choice. So they're actually entirely consistent on it when you dig down into it, the idea that they want to be able to kill their own babies, but they also want to be able to inject you with experimental stuff against your will. That's totally consistent for them because for them, they just get to be in charge of everything. They're in charge of themselves and also you. And then getting to your question of, you know, are we really stupid? The cliche, I guess, for years has been, the right thinks the left is stupid and the left thinks the right is evil. Mm-hmm. And I really think that captures it. We look at this and think, oh, you know, we can just argue our way into convincing someone because they just don't understand it as well as I do because I'm super smart. So I'll just explain it to them and then we'll all agree. And then the left is like, you're not going to explain anything to me because you're a Nazi and you're a racist and you hate America. Like, there's no way to have a conversation at that point when those are your premises.
No, it's so true. We're talking to the great Sean Davis from The Federalist. And when you hear Biden say something like, this is the most extreme crowd in political history, there are a couple of crowds out there that would probably beg to differ with that depiction based on the back of their baseball card. But, I mean, I guess that's where we are at this point between now and the midterms. There's been a calculated decision. Like, they can't change anything in the country as it pertains to the quality of life issues. So we're back to full-on just vote for me or you're a racist. And I'm just so exhausted by doing this. And I would almost think on some level they would be too. Like, you know how like Heidi Klum eventually broke up with Seal? Because as talented as he was, she had to go to a benefit every Thursday night and hear him sing Crazy again because it was the only song. It was like Crazy or Kissed by a Rose. And she just couldn't sit through it anymore. Like, the Democrats make you go to the benefit every night and sing the same damn song. Like, do you think on some level they're tired of it, or do they just not care as long as they get power?
Oh, I don't think they ever get tired of calling their enemies Nazis. No. They will never, ever get tired of it. And there's a line from C.S. Lewis, which I'm totally going to butcher, but I'll do my best to paraphrase it, is that there's no worse tyranny than the tyranny who's trying to do things to you for your own good,
yeah.
Which is really how the kind of left looks at this. That's what the vaccine stuff was all about and the mandates and everything. We're having to do this for your own good because you stupid, evil morons don't know what's good for you. You don't understand how good the Democrat Party is for you because you're too dumb clinging to your guns and your Bible and your religion. Uh-huh. No, they never, ever will get tired of this. These are the most energetic little fascists you will see anywhere on earth.
Well, that's what's so fascinating about it. And you, to your point of like doing it for our own good, it's like the misinformation or the disinformation board is basically leading the league in disinformation. But they run the racket, man, and it's bananas to me. It's really bananas. But this is the question I wanted to ask. You're down in D.C., and you kind of have your finger on the pulse. How is the male population holding up now that Joy Behar's on a sex strike?
Oh, man, it is debilitating. I mean, you got all these eligible bachelors that thought they had a chance, and the depression, you can just feel it in the air.
You know what the best part of the clip is on The View when they play it? If you listen closely, you can hear her husband applauding the loudest. He's like, hey,
you almost lost me at the best part of this clip on The View.
Well, there's not a lot of highlights to point to, but I consider that one of them, is that you know this whole sex strike was the husband's idea. He's like, you show him, girl. No more. I'm out of here. Oh, it's too funny, Sean Davis. Let me throw this one at you. I know you followed the disinformation board and the Nina Jankowicz and all of that jazz and the singing and the dancing and the Mary Poppins videos and everything in between. Like, I have this concern, and I think it's a valid one, that because I went to the correspondence dinner, and I've never been there before, and I've never partied on that scene. I know you're down there. You're the CEO of the Federalist. You're around this stuff. The term that, you know, the media lives in a bubble is uttered so many times by us that it's cliche to utter it at this point. But being immersed in it for a weekend, I actually do think it's a real thing. Like, and I don't think it's exaggerated on any level, because the correspondence dinner, they were there celebrating. There's a banner over the stage that they're celebrating the protection of the First Amendment. On the same week, they just started a board to ban speech they don't agree with. So, like, is it really as insular as it comes off as when you're there? Like, is there anybody down there that's talking to regular human beings, or is it just the kumbaya circle jerk that I was subjected to?
Oh, no. It is the most impenetrable bubble you can possibly imagine. I remember a couple years ago, my friend John Ekdahl asked on Twitter, of kind of like the White House Twitterati circles, how many of you idiots just know someone who drives a truck? Pretty simple question. They lost their minds. It was like a vampire had just been shown a cross made of garlic. And they lost their minds. How dare you say that? And, of course, the answer was, not only did none of them drive a truck, they don't even know anyone who drives a truck. Like, they are so divorced from the reality of how life is lived in America. Mm-hmm. they remind me of two different things. The people who live in the Capitol and the Hunger Games, you know, all they're doing is getting drunk and benching and wearing stupid clothes. Yeah. Or Lucille Bluth when she's talking about the banana stand to Michael Bluth. I mean, honestly, how much could a banana cost, Michael? $5? These are the people we're dealing with.
It's such a good depiction because you're right, because they were sitting there and I'm saying to myself, like, if you're in the media and you're taking, like, you know, your approval seriously, these were probably four or five of the most humiliating years in the history of the media. But they were there last weekend, and it was as self-congratulatory as anything you've ever seen. They were literally on stage giving out awards for people who were still for people who reported on the Mueller probe. I'm like, dude, the Mueller probe ended in utter humiliation for everybody who pushed it, and they're still celebrating the fine work they did. So, like, I keep saying, we're living in the death of shame. Are we beyond shame, Sean Davis? Is shame no longer a thing felt by certain people?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, if you could turn sniffing your own farts into an Olympic sport, these people would all be gold medalists. They are like the Michael Phelps of getting high on their own supply. They have no shame, which is why they can never be embarrassed.
What the hell did you just say?
Sean Davis telling it like it is. I just wanted to tell you the sniffing your own farts reference is a little highbrow for my show. If you could take it down a notch. I'm kidding, man. It's so funny. But you're right. That is who they are. And, like, I was so fascinated when I got back on Monday. Like, it was my own little, like, Marco Polo where I went, you know, I traveled out to the Orient and came back with all kinds of pelts and spices and recon and stuff like that. But it was just a confirmation of everything I thought to be true. I was at a cocktail party where Secretary Mayorkas, just doing a bang-up job down at the border, as you know. Oh, my goodness. Secretary Mayorkas waited in line to meet Don Lemon. But met him like, you know those videos of the Beatles going to Shea Stadium and the girls are just crying because they don't know what to do with this sensation? That was Mayorkas meeting Don Lemon. And I was like, everything you need to know about our inability to secure the border, you know, can be summed up in that meeting. Because he's basically, that's just him ideologically aligned with a guy who says securing the border is racist. And I guess that's everybody? Like, that's what's up? Is that what's up, Sean Davis?
Yes, and I'll tell you, the only editorial we have ever published at The Federalist, because generally we don't do them, we write stuff under our own name. Mm-hmm. The only editorial we've ever published was, I think, in 2014, calling for the White House Correspondents' Dinner to be nuked from orbit, because everyone there is just the literal worst. They're the worst people. They're all morons. They have no idea what they're doing, and yet they look down at the rest of us like we're the idiots. I mean, nothing better captures the idiocy and the self-satisfaction and smug narcissism of D.C. politics than that awful dinner.
That's so true, man. And I do. I love talking to you. I just wish you wouldn't hold back so much.
I'm trying to be less subtle and nuanced.
try to emote a little bit next time around, you know. Get off the wall, would you? But it's great stuff. I think the last time I depicted us as two homeless guys, you know, aren't supposed to be shouting on the same street corner. But I feel like our donations, I feel like the coffee cup's getting fuller now if we keep shouting. So let's keep playing good ball, okay?
Amen. My corner's starting to fill up over here.
All right, have fun. I'll let you get to your next bottle of wine. Sean Davis, you're the man. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Take care. Thank you, sir.
See you, buddy. There he goes, the great Sean Davis. Everything he said about the correspondence dinner. I mean, I tell you, I walked around it all weekend, and I told you I did. I made sure I didn't drink. I had like two drinks Saturday night. I also had to go on live TV, and I wasn't – that's not how you're ending this career. Like, my career's running really good. I am not going to be the guy to end it. It's not going to happen. It's a big deal for me. But I had really – almost no drinks in me on Saturday night at the actual dinner because I really wanted to talk to everybody and really understand what this is and really come back to you as I did this past Monday and give you all the intel I could gather about what that world is. Because guys like you and me, gals like you and me, they's like you and me, them's like you and me, okay, we're very rarely mingling. Like I said, there's plenty of taxis lined up outside the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but there's rarely a driver inside of it. And what I saw inside of it confirmed everything you need to know about the media and the woke left.
They're crazy.
The critics have spoken.
Well, that was different. Yep, lousy, but different.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon, living it up down in Tampa, Florida. We're going to be wrapping with Joe Concha in the next hour. He's, of course, a superstar media reporter at The Hill, a Fox News contributor. And he's going to weigh in on something I will be discussing on the Fox Business Network tonight at 5:50 Eastern Standard Time. I'll be on Fox Business tonight discussing the fact that the guy who tackled Dave Chappelle on stage at the Hollywood Bowl will not be charged with a felony.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Yes, it is full-on lawlessness in L.A. now, where crime is even spiking at the Oscars. Will Smith smacked Chris Rock in the face. Now we've got some copycat crimes. What do they both have in common? Neither of them will spend any time in jail. Not a good look, America. We'll try to turn it around in the next hour. Don't go anywhere.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. And we are coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. We're broadcasting, of course, down in Tampa, Florida for one more day. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a touring stand-up comedian in his own right. A man who has never been tackled on stage, although the guy who tackled Dave Chappelle on stage out in Los Angeles, not going to be charged with a felony.
He should be behind bars.
A lot of people feel that way. But is he going to end up behind bars?
The answer would be no.
Misdemeanor charges. Misdemeanor charges for the dirtbag who stormed the stage at the Hollywood Bowl, took down Chappelle. Okay, and obviously he got beat up. The security got there eventually. Thing about Chappelle is everybody he rolls with, I've seen him in a lot of comedy club stuff like that in the city. Everybody, I'm not trying to be funny, everybody he rolls with is so stoned. They are smoking yards of marijuana before, during, after shows. So there was a little bit of a delayed reaction in getting the guy. And thankfully, you know, the guy got roughed up. Chappelle was okay. I'm happy for all of that. Chappelle is great. He's a legend. We should protect him. But all comedians are in danger. It's not just Chappelle. Now, the truth is, 9 times out of 10, these people that are running onto the stage are running onto the stage when there's a big name that's going to get them attention. You know, if you run down the knuckleheads and punch a guy in front of a crowd of 31 people, I mean, if it's a decent punch, if it's a well-shot video, yeah, it could go viral on the web. But most of the people doing this stuff are seeking out bigger names. And this goes for protests. This goes for getting offended. Okay, there's never a Twitter backlash against a comedian with 13 Twitter followers who tells a joke. Why? Because that backlash can't get the outrage mob any relevance.
Bingo.
They're not getting offended because they're angry. They're getting offended because they're desperate for attention. That's what it is. So even when it comes to attacking comics, but when you hear, okay, this is the LA district attorney. Okay, it's a complete jackass. They're trying to recall him for a second time right now. Garcon, like, no, we can't do this anymore. We can't do it. But their district attorney's office not going to pursue felony charges against Isaiah Lee, aspiring rapper who attacked Chappelle. He was charged with 4 misdemeanors, including battery and possession of a weapon. DA spokesperson saying, after reviewing the evidence, prosecutors determined that while criminal conduct occurred, the evidence as presented did not constitute felony conduct.
That is a fact check false.
Yo, the guy had a gun with a knife blade inside of it that could be projected like a handgun with a bayonet. He attacks, okay, a comedian, tackles him wielding a weapon. Violent assault with a weapon, by definition, traditionally a felony.
Correct the mundo.
So it's a really weird situation, because what the message being sent here, it does matter. I promise it matters. Okay, if you tell people, yo, you could just, you know, you run on the stage, you'll go viral on Instagram, you get roughed up a little bit, you're out of there with a fine. Okay, people are going to do it. It's like, look at it like a ball game. How many times a year, when you're watching a ball game or you go to a ball game and you hear like, oh, they got a fan on the field. Oh, look at security chasing that fan. Oh, he's ducked him. He juked him out. He went left. Oh, he went right. They can't get him. Oh, they got him. They got him. They're beating him up in the locker room. They're going to take him downstairs, give him a wood shampoo. Ooh, not looking good for that guy. That's how it works. Got fan runs on the field. They're like, yeah, this is great. Way to go. Then they get their hands on the guy, and they give him the business. Okay, it happens. Okay, it continues to happen. They do usually find these people and charge these people. But it will happen periodically, not as much as you would think, because these attention-seeking drunk lunatics do suffer a legitimate degree of consequence. A lot of times they are facing a minimum of a $1,000 fine, which is a little bit of a deterrent. But again, these are not people harming anyone. They're just running on the field for the hell of it. Hey, I'm drunk and my shirt's off. Woo! We've all been there. We're going streaking! You know, we've all been there. I don't know if all of us have been there, but my producer certainly has. But the point is, when it comes to running on the field for violence, you need an actual deterrent. You do need a deterrent. If the only deterrent right now is that your YouTube video might not get as many likes as you want, the message being sent there is, do more. Don't just run after the comedian and tackle him. You know, I don't know. Maybe have a silly sign. Maybe wear a wacky chicken costume. I don't know. This is the world we happen to be living in right now, where it's the death of shame. Everybody just wants attention. Do you understand? And when it comes to attention, there's no bad attention anymore. People are, you know, slogging along in life, doing their thing, seeing other folks being relevant, saying to themselves, hey, I'd like that level of relevance. How can I get it? Now, if you go to a Chappelle show, you post a picture of yourself in the front row, you know, your circle of friends is going to click like. You're going to be a little more relevant that Thursday night than the rest of your crowd. But if you go on stage and you attack Chappelle, if you attack Chappelle, now all of a sudden the whole world knows who you are. You're super duper relevant. Look at you, girl. Way to go. And that's what they're doing here. They're incentivizing. They're catering to those people. And there's a part of our society, just so you understand, and there's not a lot of discussion of this, but it's something in private conversations I bring up with people a lot. The like button was the worst thing, the single solitary worst thing that ever happened to our society.
I agree with that.
Everything you interact with now in a digital age, everything is preceded by a like count. It, number one, influences your opinion. You know, so, wow, this is really popular. 10,000 likes. Ooh. Well, this only has 3 likes. It must suck. Oftentimes, it's not to be the case. Some of the people with the most likes are doing some of the dumbest things, but they've figured out the algorithm. They've built up a following. They're consistently, actively posting on social media, which makes their posts more likely to wind up in other people's feeds, giving their posts a greater reach and a higher level of interaction than yours. But what a lot of people, you know, they don't really know that. They don't get to stand behind the magician and understand that the likes are predicated by a multitude of things that don't prioritize quality. I have tweets this week that have 200,000 likes, tweets that have 60,000 likes. They're not any better than what I normally tweet. You know, there's a little more engagement on Twitter right now, and because that engagement is driving my interactions, my numbers look insane. Like, you'd log on to Twitter and think I'm one of the most popular political commentators in the country right now, when the God's honest truth is...
That is a fact check false.
Just a regular guy doing his thing, hosting the hell out of a radio show, making the TV look easy. But the God's honest truth is I'm not like a mega name celebrity where you're going to get famous from storming the stage at my show. I mean, if anything, you're going to put yourself in danger, because as a guy whose supporters do actually support the Second Amendment, 9 times out of 10, my audience is fully armed. So if you're rushing the stage, I'm more worried about you than I am about me. Okay, but this whole idea of the like button and this quest for relevance, how do I get my 10,000 likes? How do I measure up to those other people getting their likes? Has people resorting to any measure possible if it gets them that end result, which is relevance? So that's what we're dealing with when it comes to comics, you know, rushing the stage, when it comes to audiences rushing the stage and stuff like that. It's people acting out for attention. And if you want it to go away, if you want it to go away, you have to send a message to the people doing it that bad stuff will happen if you do stupid, that's the message. You send that message, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, that whole thing. If you're going to attack a comedian, a famous comedian, with a gun, they call it a replica gun, but it had a real blade on it. It had a real knife on it at the end, okay? So I don't know. Listen, you can storm the stage, tackle comedians with a knife, but don't let me see you taking anything bigger. We're going to have big problems. That's basically the message here. And to the attention-seeking crowd that just wants to measure up, okay, this is a ticket to ride to a lot of people. So I do think this is bad for comedy. Where I think it's overblown is I think the smaller-level comedian isn't at risk the way they want you to believe they are, because there's nothing to gain from attacking them. And people are trying to make this about offense, but I don't think it's about offense. I think it's more about a quest for relevance. The offense crowd, they yell and scream, but people who are offended by a joke certainly can't take a punch. You know what I mean? If you can't take a joke, something tells me you're not much of a fist fighter. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt you. If the names are hurting you, I'm going to go out on a limb and say sticks and stones aren't your thing. You know, but nonetheless, justice is not anybody's thing out in Los Angeles, and this guy will get a misdemeanor. You know what that means? That means he was out a minute after he tackled Chappelle. That means, oh, I don't know, he'll pick up trash on the side of a highway for 5 minutes if he decides to show up. Maybe pay a $75 fine. His ticket was more expensive than his fine. And everybody's like, yeah, no, this is great. But what it really is the byproduct of the society we've created by making everything go digital. Everybody is in a never-ending quest for relevance. That's all we're doing now. Social media has turned everyone into a red light hooker in Amsterdam. That's what we are now on social media.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
But really think about it. It's everybody, you know, they say, and I've heard the stories, when you go to Amsterdam, there's hookers in the windows, and they're like, hey, come look at my show. You got to see what I do. Come over here. Come inside. That's what social media is. Hey, come to my page. See what I tweet. Come look at my videos. Come on inside. Check it out. Everybody just wants to be relevant. And it's reduced us. It's so reductive. It's reduced us to the stupidest we've ever been as a society. The smartphone, the irony of the smartphone, in that it drove our intelligence rates into the ground, okay, will be the lasting legacy of the smartphone. It's like the Affordable Care Act doing the opposite of what it's supposed to do. The Affordable Care Act drove up health insurance premiums by 300%.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
It's the Affordable Care Act. It made health care more expensive. Do you get it? It's the opposite of what it was purported to do. No different than a disinformation board in Washington. What are they doing with it? They're using it to spread disinformation. The people who told you Hunter Biden's laptop was fake, that's disinformation. They're in charge of the disinformation board. That's what we're living in now. Down is up is down, doesn't matter. But people want relevance. People want clout. People want the ability to steer society. They want to be able to share opinion. And because 9 times out of 10, the win is decided by who has the most social media heat, which movement is winning in the court of public opinion, who's got the most memes, who's got the most likes. Okay, that's really what's determining a lot of the popular sovereignty in this country right now. And it's not being, you know, there's no calculus as is like, well, the left's got more likes on this one. Is what they're saying true or factual? We don't ask ourselves that question. Is there any dignity in this position? We don't ask ourselves that question. The point is they got the likes. That's all you need to know. It's like you showed up to the money. You showed up with the money. That's all they need. You know, the money's green. They'll take it from you. Okay, that's what we're talking about. On social media, when it comes to accumulating currency, there are people that are billionaires in terms of currency, in terms of the popularity of their currency. But in terms of how they make that digital currency, a lot of them really should be ashamed of themselves because there's disgusting stuff going on. But we don't really, really prioritize quality. We prioritize popularity. So when you get to comedy clubs, when you get to the Dave Chappelle's of the world, okay, and people just wanting their relevance, it doesn't matter that your relevance was accumulated from something, you know, stupid and shameful. Doesn't matter if you're in Isaiah Lee's circle of people, you're an aspiring rapper, trying to get a little bit of a following. Yo, that's the dude that attacked Chappelle. That's what you're known as now. Yo, that's the dude that attacked Chappelle. People are like, word? That's crazy. Get out of here. Yeah. That's what we do now. It's you know, fame at all costs. But I can tell you, like, somebody who's, like, kind of semi-famous. Like, I get recognized everywhere I go. It's absolutely a night and day shift from what my existence looked like a year and a half ago. I mean, I'm living in an upside down version of my life. Like, were it not for Jenny and Lincoln, I would be, like, lost as a human being. But I have that compass that keeps me as the same person every single day, no matter where I'm getting recognized, no matter who I'm talking to, people sending me stuff and all that. It's really cool. But I'm just telling you, as a guy on the other side, like, if you're out there trying to be me, okay, you know, your career profile changing doesn't actually change who you are. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not happy with who you are, you don't need more likes on social media. You don't need to, you know, charge the stage and tackle Dave Chappelle. You need to stay home and tackle the things about your lifestyle that you're not enjoying, and you need to go out there and fix them.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
Critics are calling it the funniest show on the radio.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I almost had it.
It is Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla, down here in Tampa, Florida. We're doing a meet and greet today from 4 to 6 p.m. at Due Amici. A pizza and pasta bar in Tampa, one of the few bars my producer is still allowed into after last night's shenanigans. I mean, you talk about painting the town. Ain't no party like a Fox Across America party, because a Fox Across America party does not stop. We got back to our hotel at 5:30 in the morning. I told you it's an Amish rum springer. Jenny shoves me out the door and just says, come home alive, like in one piece. And we do, like, to our credit. We're fairly responsible about it, but we really had a hell of a good time last night. A lot of cigars, a lot of singing, a lot of dancing, Mikey. We did, things went on. Okay, but Sonny Hostin on The View, dancing with the truth right now. Talking about black Republicans. She's slandering black Republicans. And you need to hear this, and you need to know why this is being said at the time it's being said. Take it away, Josh.
I do say that I have many conservative values that I will talk to you about. And so if you look at your network standing behind, yes, and when you look at your network that you're standing behind, you're saying that you look at Chris Cuomo.
I feel like that's an oxymoron, a black Republican.
You feel like it's an oxymoron?
I do.
Why? Your friend right here is a Republican.
We had this conversation.
You do. And you say you feel like it's an oxymoron that you're Catholic, but you also are pro-life.
I don't understand either.
No, you don't understand yourself then. You have disagreements.
I understand myself. I don't understand either of
this. But it's not a personal conversation.
Yeah.
We're having a personal conversation about CNN
and
how
black
things can get leaked.
And I don't understand Latino Republicans.
Well, today this is not about me, and it's not about you. It's about celebrating Corinne Jean-Pierre.
And I think we should. We can agree on that.
Can you imagine being that stupid?
So here's the thing you got to understand. Byron Donalds will be on the show next week. This guy could be our president someday. He's, I mean, just a beast. Just a beast in Congress down here in Florida. You know, you get a great guy like Tim Scott who comes on our show and speaks to the racial truth of this country and the progress we've made. Okay, the reason Democrats don't understand black Republicans, the reason they say, like, I can't fathom such a thing, is the people who are saying that are not capable, are not indulging in any type of critical thought when it comes to which parties have done right by the black community and which parties have done wrong. They're simply clinging to familiar political refrains, number one. Number two, when a black conservative does say, hey, I'm a black conservative and I'm here, they try to change the topic because they're horrified by the idea that black conservatives are out there. But here's a newsflash. They're losing double-digit support with black voters right now. They're losing nearly 30% with Latino voters right now. So when she says she doesn't understand black and Latino conservatives, I do believe her, because she's in a bubble where they're prioritizing things that black and conservative voters don't care about. I promise you, rich, white, liberal, elite people, no one is in a high-crime black neighborhood like focused on climate change right now, you jackasses. So stop, you know, posting your views and forcing them on other people, you idiots. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, fired up to talk to this next guest. He is, of course, a superstar media reporter at The Hill, Fox News contributor, spent the entire week combing through the media reactions to the SCOTUS leak, and he joins us now to answer the most important question on my mind, which is who's going to win the Kentucky Derby. Joe Concha's here. Yo, Concha.
Yo, happy. I want to say happy Friday because it's apparently going to rain now for the next 40 days and 40 nights here in New York.
No, we all
you're
moved.
Wait, you're not there, are you? You're somewhere else.
Oh, I'm in sunny Tampa, and it's just gorgeous, man.
Oh.
I know.
You're going to go to Burns, the steakhouse?
Yeah, that's what everybody's talking about. So I have to go to a meet and greet after this. And I know Burns is hard to get into, but it's exponentially harder because there's not a lot of bars in this town my producer's still allowed into after last night.
So oh, no.
It's gonna be, no, he was good. But we burnt it down, Concha. You would have been proud of us. When I travel.
Irish car bombs.
Yeah. When I travel for stand-up, my wife is on board with this. We treat it like an Amish Rumspringa. You know when they let the kids off the farm for 3 days to cheat death and go crazy? And then they
oh,
see
sure.
if they scare themselves back onto the farm? That's kind of what me and Jenny do when we're on the road. We were out. Like, we went hard. We did some radio. We did some TV. We did some stand-up. And we burnt it down. So when I say I need to figure out who's going to win the Kentucky Derby, that's mainly to pay Mikey's expense tab at the dollhouse down here in Tampa.
So, oh, that's great. You're like Randy Quaid and Kingpin. You know, I mean, you've been let out of Amish country, and you're letting loose. Good for you. Congratulations.
Great reference by you to Kingpin. You know, it's really funny. You might appreciate this. I was in, I was out in Reno doing a comedy club about a month ago, and one of our great stations out there, and they took me to downtown Reno, and that's the only thing I wanted to see was that bowling alley from Kingpin, which is like one of the most underrated comedies ever.
It is, yeah. And they never repeat it either. You notice that? Like, some movies are on all the time, and that does not get the play it should for whatever reason. I do not know why.
And I stick with it because, you know, there's a term in Kingpin, and I say this all the time. Like, Joe Biden is Munsoning as a president. You know, in Kingpin, like, what happened? It Munsoned on me. You know, Biden might go down as a term on par with a Munson. It might Biden on us when you look at the country, no?
Yeah, and then Ron DeSantis will come in as Ernie McCracken, you know, just laughing all the way to the Oval Office. I mean, it's just amazing how they make every wrong decision. It's remarkable. And I'm not saying this as a partisan. I really just kind of look at it as balls and strikes, right?
Yep.
And on inflation, okay, that's transitory, right? Or no, it's Vladimir Putin. No, and no one buys that, right? And on crime, we really didn't support those protests during the summer of 2020 that basically emboldened criminals and demoralized police. And education, hey, let's take the side of the teachers' union over parents, right? That's pretty smart. And then the border, hey, it's Trump's fault. The wall never would have worked anyway, Psaki said last week, which you just shake your head and you're like, oh, God, what are you doing? And now even on abortion, I think they thought they got this Hail Mary. Like, wow, this is an issue that the American people can really get behind the Democratic Party on until you look at the polls and you see we're right down the middle, Jimmy, pro-life and pro-choice. And then when you break it down to, hey, do you favor abortions after 15 weeks? And then you have a majority, 54% or something like that, opposing it, 41% only. That's a 13-point difference as far as oppose and support. So even on this, they're getting, and Democrats do this every time, they're getting far too emotional about it, like they did with voting rights. And then the hyperbole just kind of turns everybody off, like, yeah, all right, you know what, you're just screaming too much. You just got to just calm it down. Act like an adult. Elizabeth Warren, my God.
That's a really brilliant point as she tramples the shrubs. Joe Concha is on the line. And that is, it's true. It's a really brilliant assessment by you because what I've been covering in the first 2 hours of the show today is this depiction of people on the right as the extremists in this debate. You know, we're going to go march at a Supreme Court justice's house to stop these extremists who don't want us killing babies. I'm like, yo, the people killing 60 million babies are not going to go down in history as the moderate ones in this conversation. But again, to your point, they're so emotional. It's just denying them self-awareness. You know, when you operate from a place of emotion or anger, you don't realize that what you're saying might sound psychotic or stupid. Like, which brings me to Joy Behar going on a sex strike. Is that really going to move the needle? I mean, I am of the mind that it was her husband's idea to propose this.
I mean, you get to a certain age and a certain time in your marriage where you're kind of already on strike, right?
Good job.
And I just – that show, I mean, today, Sonny Hostin said that she – doesn't it's an oxymoron to be a Latino Republican, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at polls and you see that Joe Biden is polling at 26% approval among Latino voters.
Yeah. How about that? So,
and there's also, well, I don't even know what a black Republican is. And it's just the show used to have some gravitas when Barbara was on it,
yes.
Right? She would kind of hold everybody together. Now that Joy is basically in charge, you can say Whoopi is. But and then the conservative they put on there is a gal named Ana Navarro who only did fundraisers for Joe Biden, right? and she's called the Republican strategist. Meghan McCain at least brought some common sense to that show. Now it's just unwatchable. And the best part is ABC News keeps that show under its news division. Yeah. That's entertainment, man. You can't call this news. They got presidents on there, so I guess that makes it okay. But let me go back to one thing that you were saying before, by the way, about the Supreme Court and doxing justices and actually marching on their homes. Where, like, Amy Coney Barrett only has, like, 7 children there, right?
Yeah.
So that should go pretty well. For Jen Psaki, right, who's already measured the drapes in her corner office at 30 Rock, for her to say that, you know, they don't condemn that in any way, shape, or form, and that, well, as long as they're peaceful, then I guess it's okay. Again, the messaging is just like, okay, you're going to allow this after what happened to Steve Scalise at that baseball field a couple of years ago? Really?
Yeah.
That's the road you want to go down? That's where we're at, Jimmy? It's a death of shame is a saying that I've come up with. What do you think?
Good for you, Contra. Good for you.
I was reeling you in there.
I know, and I loved it so much. But it is. It's so true. We're talking to the great Joe Contra, and it is the death of shame in that regard because, I mean, when you really think about, you know, what they're asking of people here is go to this house. Don't do anything bad, though, to these people who want to destroy women and take away their rights. It's like they know what they're doing. And that's the part that disgusts me is it just reeks of such a shameless desperation because it's not only abortion. Like they're now telling us, oh, forget the SCOTUS leak about Roe. What is this going to do to gay marriage? What's going to happen to integrated schools? They're just trying to cast the widest net imaginable to get, I think, the biggest swath of the population angry because to your earlier point, they know abortion isn't going to do it all by itself. But if they can convince people that this abortion thing has more to do with gay marriage and integrated schools and everything else, then maybe they think they'll get their votes. But I don't think it's going to work, man. You know what I think, Joe? I just think people are exhausted. Like, they're tired of everything being called racist and discriminatory and hateful and phobic. And I just don't think it works anymore. Do you ever see the movie I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's a great classic.
Not for years,
one of the great Oscar snubs of our time. But let's stay on message for a second here. I kid. But there's a scene in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, where this pimp gets out of jail, and he's wearing the fashion that was cool when he went away to jail 10 years ago. So he's got, like, a fur hat and fish tank pumps and a bamboo cane. And he gets out of jail thinking he's going to be a badass, but he's getting, like, catcalled and heckled on the way down the street because he now looks ridiculous. And I think the modern Democratic political fashion, they don't realize, because they've been locked up in their own intellectual jail for 4 years, they don't realize how ridiculous this fashion now looks to people. You can't just yell racism and expect everybody to get behind you. But there they are with the fur hat and the fish tank pumps trying to wear it like it's gold, and it ain't working, girlfriend. That's the point.
I wrote a story, I want to say this was 2018 for The Hill. And, you know, Gravian, they basically watch cable news and they put up clips on their site. Well, they were able to track, actually, through software, how many times the word race, racist, or racism was said on CNN and MSNBC in the span of 1 week. It was, I want to say, July 14th through the 21st. Your producers can look this up real quick. Joe Concha, racism, CNN, MSNBC, 4,100 times. They said that one of those three words in the span of a week, which means like almost every fourth sentence you have to insert that in somewhere. Now imagine this. This is during the Trump era, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, boy, you know, when I read, you know, my young son, the boy who cried wolf, it's now the media that cries racism. And now you call somebody racist, it has zero impact. It means nothing. It's been completely watered down. It's like the American dollar. It's like, you know what? This thing isn't worth what it used to be. And then that's the problem. They overplay their hand every time on everything.
No.
And particularly the voting rights thing. That just drove me nuts. You know, because we're going to take away the right of going to a drive-through drive-through voting at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. Voting is probably the easiest thing in the world to do in this country.
Ever.
You're given weeks to do it. You can mail in. You could show up. I mean, in some cases, you don't don't have to show an ID. So I don't understand this whole people are oppressed, because wouldn't those people be filling town halls on CNN, MSNBC, mm-hmm. talking about how they tried to vote and they just couldn't because they couldn't bring water with them and they were dying of thirst online and no one could bring water out to them. So you know, they couldn't go to a Quickie Mart on the way. So what do you mean no one's going to bring water out to us? We're going to die out here. We can't vote. Come on. It's too easy.
Spare a word for all
turning point.
Yeah, spare a word for all the people who've died voting in this country. It's so crazy. And it's like, you know, we don't even have election day. We have election month now. You get 17 days of early voting. And that's the biggest scam of that one, because, you know, we're sports guys, is they really screwed the city of Atlanta when they moved the All-Star game to Denver. Atlanta has the second biggest black metropolitan area in the country. They took $100 million worth of commerce away from that black community in the name of fighting racism, because voter ID is racist even though black people support it. Like, that was a railroad job, you know? And they moved it over to Denver. But what I find so shameless, again, is, as you know, Atlanta has 17 more days. Georgia has 17 more days of early voting than Delaware does. Delaware doesn't have any. They're ready.
Delaware.
I know.
From Delaware again. Most famous Delawarean. Is it Joe Flacco? No, it's Joe Biden.
The first senator.
Even in Massachusetts, it's 11 days. Elizabeth Warren state. New York is harder to vote in than Georgia. You're right. And then what was the greatest carbon in the world is that the Atlanta Braves end up winning the World Series and they get some home games for that. And hopefully those businesses are able to recover some of that money. But
so good.
That's what I mean. Every decision is wrong. And the problem is they're getting their cues from Joy Reid, Jen Rubin, MSNBC, CNN, and obviously they are not in step with the Ohio's, Wisconsin, Michigan's, Pennsylvania's, Nevada's, Georgia's, Arizona's of the world. It's going to be, an absolute tsunami in November. I mean, we're going to see probably a record number of seats lost. I don't see how this turns. Yeah. I don't.
No, there's no way around it, because the thing we utter to the point of cliche on our channel is that, you know, most of the elite media lives in a bubble. Having spent last weekend in D.C., like, I don't go to as many of these events as you've been to, so I was walking around the Correspondents' Dinner, and I really did show up to listen, and I wanted a sense of, like, what these people are. And they really are, like, out of their minds crazy in that they think that they're trusted, they think they're respected, they think they're doing a good job. The White House Correspondents' Dinner is like a group therapy session, a really well-dressed group therapy session, where they're congratulating each other on a job well done, and their one-loss record would envy the Washington Generals, you know, the team that gets beat by the Globetrotters twice on a Saturday. They're the Washington Generals of wins and losses, and they're like, we're killing it. We're killing it over here.
New York Jets, post-game awards, right? post-season awards. Like, let's get together and talk about – but what was your biggest takeaway from it? Because when I went, I just found it amazing that they're giving out, you know, First Amendment pins.
Yes!
Took office, right?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, not one peep from any of those speakers about the Ministry of Truth that Joe Biden's about to unload on the American people with his disinformation board. Not one word.
Think about this. Trevor Noah does 15 minutes without saying the words Hunter Biden, knowing Hunter Biden is actually in a legitimate DOJ investigation, right? It's semi-relevant. Again, especially at a time when we're celebrating the First Amendment and they banned the Hunter Biden laptop story, you know, and that banner is hanging over the stage. It says they're celebrating the protection of the First Amendment, which again is like Mardi Gras claiming they're protecting sobriety. Like, come on, man.
No, it's like Jack Kevorkian teaching the Heimlich maneuver. It just doesn't work.
Was that? There's a good George Carlin line about why they, you know, why do they swab the arm with alcohol when they lethally inject a death row inmate? It's like, you know, because heaven forbid you catch some germs on the way out the door. It's just,
wow.
What a dumb time.
I never heard that one before, but are we out of time?
No, but it's just a dumb time to be alive. No, we're never out of time, you and me, Joe Concha. what I was going to say
when
is,
the breaks are.
Yeah,
I hosted your show.
Oh, have you? You hosted the hell out of my show. I mean it, though. You're superstar. You're superstar radio host. You know that. The fact that
it's
you
fun.
Even come back and give time to the little people means a lot to us. Stop it. Let me ask
you
this.
Come on TV more, just so we could be narcissists like everybody at that dinner.
You or me?
You're getting pretty close to it, because you're getting a lot of hits on, like, that with Dana and Bill, like I have, with Harris, like I have. I saw you somewhere where I haven't seen you much.
Oh,
Cavuto.
Tucker?
Right?
I don't know. Tucker. I'm doing
Tucker
stuff.
Too, huh?
Yeah. The sun never sets on the Jimmy Fallon TV empire. The problem does. The problem is no. You definitely lead the league in hits. You are the Satahara O of cable news. You lead the league in hits. Not even Pete
Rose. Rob Carew.
Yeah.
No, I'll take Pete. That's fine.
Well, you should take Pete because I know, but you have his gambling habit like I do, so you should be the Pete Rose of hits, of cable news hits.
I used to go to Vegas every year. When I worked for media, you don't get paid a lot when you work. You can't support a family, certainly. Yeah. So I worked for a company called Cisco, and I sold video conferencing, right, in sales while I was doing media, while I was doing TV, and the people at Cisco were great. They're like, oh, we saw you on TV last night. It was awesome. I thought they'd fire me. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you can't do TV and work for us. But I made my quota, so I didn't care. And we had this sales conference in Vegas every year, right? And it's like 20,000 people from the company show up. It's one big party. But then we always stay in the same hotel as the MGM Grand, and you walk by this one area. It's like kind of like a mall area of it. And then in this little store in a window is just Pete Rose. And he's sitting in this box, and he's just there to sign autographs. And he just sits there all day. Like, we go into the conference at like 9 a.m., and I'm walking at 5, and he's just there. He just has this like look in his face like, this is what I've been reduced to. But there are people, they're getting autographs from him still. But imagine that. Like, you're in your 70s at this point. This is what you have to do just to survive. Yeah. It's sad. I don't know why I went off on this tangent.
I don't know, but
I felt like I had to share that.
But I know Pete's sitting there in his head going, what are the odds that I would have wound up here? You know, so fascinating. There you go.
The odds.
There you go, Koch. I brought a full circle. Listen, you are the hit king. You are the hit king of cable news. I'd buy an autograph ball off you anytime. Let's do it again soon, brother.
Absolutely. Except I'm on Lawrence's show like 10 something on Saturday. It's like, there goes Saturday night.
That's
you get
right.
Tape like the good old days, everybody did on weekends.
No. You gotta work for a living. You know, time was you could mail it in between Friday and Monday afternoon, but here we are singing for our supper. But it's a fine supper. Enjoy it, Joe Koch. I'll see you soon, brother.
Indeed.
You're the man. Me, there he goes. Back after this.
You're riding around with America's cabbie.
Taxi!
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
The horses are in the gate, and we are all set in the Woke Derby. And they're off. Silly Joke comes out first, followed by That's Not Cool and I'm Offended. And as we head into turn one, Old Children's Book is being chased by Cancel Culture. On to the backstretch now, where Silly Joke is not worth taking seriously, but here comes boycotts and protests. I'm Offended is picking up speed, and now Cancel Culture is kicking into high gear. And down the stretch they come. Silly Joke is in hot water, and I'm Offended won't go away. Boycotts and protests keep getting louder, but as we hit the wire, it's Cancel Culture ruining it for everybody. Silly Joke just couldn't survive boycotts and protests. Nobody likes cancel culture, but it got another win.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Some of you know this story. My grandma, my mom's mom, my grandma Bordinko, the last thing she did on this earth before she died in a hospital and flatlined was she circled the winning horse in the Kentucky Derby. She picked Jerry Bailey on Grindstone, came back from 22 and a half lengths to win the first Kentucky Derby to end in a photo finish. It was outrageous. Beat a horse by the name of Cavaneer. It was the way most of my family realized she had made it into heaven. It was the way I realized everyone in my family has a gambling problem. With that being said, it is the Kentucky Derby, the 148th version this coming weekend. My horses, number 5, Smile Happy. Number 6, Messier. Number 2, Happy Jack. I will bet them all in an exacta box. And if I'm not on the air Monday, it's because I'm turning tricks in the meatpacking district to get my money back. Happy Friday, everybody. Tampa, you are glorious. I'll see you on the television Monday morning.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.